Welcome to the Project Safe Neighborhoods podcast series, presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. As you know, Project Safe Neighborhoods is a nationwide commitment to reduce gun and gang crime in America by networking existing local programs that target gang and gun crime and providing these programs with additional tools necessary to be successful. Since its inception in 2001, approximately $2 billion has been committed to this initiative. This funding is being used to hire new federal and state prosecutors, support investigators, providing training, distributing gun lock safety kits, deter juvenile gun crime, and develop and promote community outreach efforts, as well as to support other gun and gang violence reduction strategies. NCPC is proud to be a partner with BJA on this very important work. This podcast series from NCPC invites experts from the field to share the latest emerging trends, information, success stories, and strategies in gang and gun violence prevention. We hope you find this series beneficial to your work and the resources presented helpful. I am your host, Max Meskel, with the National Crime Prevention Council. Today's podcast is Reducing Crime by Design. What if you could prevent crime by changing a burnout light bulb or replacing a broken window? Would you repair or replace broken items in your home or business? Rundown and poorly planned communities are often places of gang violence and activity that can overpower a neighborhood and implant fear within the community, infringing on citizens' rights to live in a safe and healthy environment. However, by working together, municipal leaders and ordinary citizens can design their neighborhood to deter criminal activity. Welcome to our podcast today, where we will discuss the link between residential and commercial environments and crime prevention. I'm your host, Max Meskel, with the National Crime Prevention Council. Joining me today is Chuck Sharofsky. Chuck Sharofsky is a retired sergeant from Pawtucket, Rhode Island Police Department, and the master trainer for the National Crime Prevention Council. He has extensive experience in developing curricula, facilitating, and conducting various types of crime prevention training all over the country for diverse audiences. He has conducted training in gang prevention, crime prevention through environmental design, campus crime prevention, and mortgage fraud. He has trained on issues affecting youth, including bullying, conflict management, and school safety. He coordinated the outreach to law enforcement program and conducted all types of training, including the law and you and community works. Mr. Sharofsky, thank you for assisting NCPC with this podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Max.
So I would like to ask you a few questions. And to start off, I'd like to ask, what is reducing crime by design?
A great question, Max. NCP initially started working with Project Safe Neighborhoods, the project focus was just on gun-only, firearm-only training. And then about 2007, it switched gears and became not only, getting guns off the streets, but also dealing with gangs. And at that time, there was a decision to turn these Project Safe Neighborhood trainings that we were doing into a track that has a prevention intervention 3-day piece. As part of that prevention intervention piece, NCPC was asked to develop a PowerPoint that would address the use of CEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design, into work with gangs and the problems that gangs were presenting to a lot of the communities around the country. These Project Safe Neighborhood conferences they were conducted state by state throughout the country and were extremely popular. You know, audiences range from 300 to 700 with a lot of folks really, frustrated because of the hold or the root that in some of these places where gangs had really become, unfortunately for them, part of their landscape. So NCPC came up with this PowerPoint, and we called it Reducing Crime by Design.
And how does Reducing Crime by Design work?
Great question. How it works is this. We we look at some of the hot spots in a lot of these communities, and what we generally will find is a lot of time there is 10, maybe 15% of the geographical area of a community that that is representative of about 60% of the violent crime or property crime for that community. So these small pockets with, you know, were places where most of the violent crime and the gang activity were taking place. So what we did is we used crime prevention through environmental design and its four principles. The four principles that we use include access control, surveillance, territorial reinforcement, and maintenance. And what we did was we were able to show these communities that we were traveling into that there were conditions that existed in these areas that were allowing the gangs to flourish. And if we were to use these basic SEPTED concepts, these principles, we could design out some of the crime. For instance, if some of the crime associated with the gangs that were at some of these, whether it's abandoned foreclosed properties, whether it was vacant lots, whether it was highway off-ramps, what we said was there are different things we could do. For instance, traffic calming. What traffic calming is the use of traffic, pedestrian, or vehicle flow to add either eyes and ears into a community or to make folks less familiar with an environment. So if we had prostitution at the end of an interstate off-ramp, what we did was we placed jersey barriers, you know, barriers for about three blocks that didn't allow out-of-towners or people coming just to visit the prostitutes or the drug dealers to have ready access to them. Because basically they were coming on and then coming off the highway, then jumping right back on because the interstate entrance was just across the street. They could get all their illegal stuff and get right back on the highway. So by using something like traffic calming, we're able to move the drug dealers and the prostitutes into an area that they're unfamiliar with. And the police officers would report to us that catching these jobs were like fishing in a bucket. It was so easy because they were all out of place. They didn't know where their usual hookup was anymore. Another way of using it is, as you mentioned in the intro, you know, sometimes, streetlights being vandalized, homes being boarded up if there's an issue with abandoned foreclosed properties become settings for this inappropriate behavior to take place. And then before you know it, that's the epicenter for the crime. So by adding streetlights, by identifying the conditions that exist in the environment where these hot spots are and changing some of those environments so that it's less comfortable for the gangs, we're able to change types of crimes. So there's this theory out there called displacement and diffusion. And a lot of folks will argue that, you know, Chuck, what you're really doing is moving these gang members from one corner to another. And here's what I would argue. I would argue that we don't only just move them from one corner to another, but study after study has shown that when they're in a new environment where they don't know where the extra eyes and ears are, where they don't know where people are going to call on them, then it dramatically changes the types of crimes they're comfortable committing. And oftentimes the crimes that they turn to are much less violent.
And can these techniques be used in various settings?
Absolutely. And that was one of the wonderful things, the universal things of this reducing crime by design when it came to gangs, is because a lot of times folks would talk about the security of the gangs, especially in some of the housing complexes, because the family had lived there for a long time. People would put a blind eye to some of their activity. In some cases, the gangs were being labeled as protectors of the folks that may live in these areas. So when we were able to come in and work with housing authorities and actually show them, like, that controlling access into and out of the apartment complex dramatically changes the folks that are coming in and out and who's comfortable, they were able to see what we're talking about. And specifically what I'm talking about here is this. What we've done in a lot of cases is have a guard check right at the entrance to a lot of the complexes. And what that person does is they're required to see the license, the registration, and in states where there's active insurance, the insurance of card for the vehicle trying to come in, and also exactly who were they visiting. So a lot of times if they come in and say, I'm visiting, Bob, Pete, Pedro, Jose, whoever, or what's their last name? Well, I don't know, the dude works for me. So you know that they're not in there to visit whoever it is that they're saying that they're visiting. They can't even give you the address. So they wouldn't be allowed access in to the apartment complex until they could get somebody who lives in the complex to come out and vouch for them, or until they can get, the proper identification of folks. Now, in addition to having the guard check, a number of these facilities have a roving person that drives around the complex, and what that does is it increases the surveillance. The true key is when we're able to get the folks that live there that do not want to have a stigma attached to the place that they live, to join neighborhood watches and then to be the eyes and the ears in these places, we're able to use it in any setting. College campuses, schools are a big recruiting ground for gang members. And when we're able to use these same philosophies in those settings, people are reporting some great success and a great reduction in the amount of types of crimes that they're seeing as a result of using the SEPTED or the Reducing Crime by Design module that we presented in these areas.
And what, if anything, would you suggest to folks who may be considering using Reducing Crime by Design in their community?
Well, it's really important to understand that what's going on there generally didn't happen overnight. So when you look at this, this is not a silver bullet. This is the beginning stages of a comprehensive program. And as you have your initial success, we don't walk away from this. The initial success needs to be the catalyst for going forward. We need the major stakeholders in these areas where that are being affected to buy into the project, to support the project, to be out there sending the message that this is what they want to do going forward. In a lot of communities, we've had great success with the elected officials. Department of Public Works is a huge, huge partner. Code enforcement, planning, obviously the police departments, the fire departments, all working together as a team, as a SEPTED-based team, to develop and to work on this program together. That's what it's going to take to have the long-lasting effects. Can you use this for a short time and get some short-term effects? Absolutely. Within 3 months, you can see a significant change. However, if you're really talking about, tearing the roots out of these gang members that are rooted in these communities, this is going to be a long-term commitment to this project.
All right. I believe that's all the questions I have to ask you today. Once again, thank you, Mr. Sharofsky, for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for participating in this podcast. This podcast can be downloaded on NCPC's website's PSN landing page at www.ncpc.org. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance and supported by grant number GPBXK006. The Bureau of Justice Assistance is a component of the Office of Justice Programs, which includes the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the National Institute of Justice, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, the SMART Office, and the Office for Victims of Crime. Points of view or opinion in this document are those of the author and do not represent the official position or policies of the United States Department of Justice. Again, this is Max Meskel with the National Crime Prevention Council. Thank you for joining us.